The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is a very timely one, with October being National Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
A really important topic. We know that cancers are among the top five leading causes of premature death in Ulster County. And before we introduce our guests, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the breast cancer situation in New York and in Ulster County in terms of statistics and trends?
Sure. Breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer and the second leading cause of cancer death among women in New York State. Each year, about 15,000 women in New York State are newly diagnosed with breast cancer, and approximately 2,600 die, unfortunately, from the disease. The risk of breast cancer increases with age, and it does vary across racial groups. But let me tell you something about Ulster County more specifically. The incidence of breast cancer in women in Ulster County, on the average, is about 145 cases per year, with the mortality or the death from cancer, breast cancer, about 28 cases per year. The New York State, there is something called the Healthy People 2020 initiative nationally. And one of the objectives of Healthy People 2020 is to encourage about 81% of the women aged 50 to 74 to receive breast cancer screening every 2 years. In New York State, anywhere from 71 to 78% of New York State women of that age group actually received a mammogram within the past 2 years. In Ulster County, unfortunately, the number isn't that high. Only about 62% of women of the recommended age group receive that a mammogram every 2 years. So we have work to do in Ulster County to increase the number of women who undergo breast cancer screening, for sure.
So it sounds like 38% approximately don't get those screening, those very important screenings. Well, we are very fortunate to have with us today a leading medical professional here in Ulster County. Her name is Dr. Zoe Weinstein. She is a board-certified breast surgeon and medical director of the Fern Feldman Analytic Center for Breast Health at Health Alliance Hospital at the Mary's Avenue campus right here in Kingston. And as you know, Health Alliance is a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, or known as WMC Health. She was in private practice for 20 years before her current position. She received her medical degree from Albert Einstein College of Medicine and is a member of the Medical Society of the State of New York and the American Society of Breast Surgeons. She's accomplished in advanced breast surgery procedures and techniques and is highly knowledgeable about breast health and breast cancer. Dr. Weinstein, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Weinstein, tell our listeners what breast cancer actually is.
Breast cancer is the abnormal growth of cells in the breast that usually belong to the glandular part of the breast, the cells that make the milk, the cells that line the ducts that convey the milk to the nipple. These cells normally respond to hormonal signals in the body throughout the lifetime of each female person and some men. And it's the abnormal growth of these cells that make a cancer, either making a mass that you could feel or an abnormality on mammography or other imaging study.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there are probably a lot of variables that go into causes, but from your perspective and your experience, what do you feel are the main causes of breast cancer?
Well, as Dr. Smith mentioned, as we all age, women in society, our risk of breast cancer increases. But there are other contributing factors to breast cancer risk, such as obesity after menopause, diabetes, lack of exercise. Hormonal stimulation by itself increases breast cancer risk in the form of hormone replacement therapy after menopause over a prolonged period of time. And even what we consider endogenous hormones, meaning the hormones you make yourself, like from your ovaries during pregnancy, pregnancy itself is associated with an increased risk within the first 2 years after delivering a child. So there are enough young women who will present with a breast mass who are of reproductive age, who are either pregnant or have had children, that those breast masses also have to be investigated. So essentially, there are a couple of themes. One of the themes is the hormone theme. Either you make your own hormones that put you at risk just because you're a biologically busy organism, or you're taking hormones because you're postmenopausal or perimenopausal, or you have a hormonal abnormality because you're morbidly obese, and there are abnormalities of hormone metabolism that have to do with obesity, decreased exercise, and there are hormonal signals that come from the fat itself. So we're really trying to get a handle on the obesity epidemic in the country and in New York State and in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. And we certainly hope that addressing this problem of obesity will help us address some of the risk factors for breast cancer that we see in our particular patient population.
Mm-hmm. And just out of curiosity, do you factor in environmental factors or high stress lifestyle into that equation in any way?
I think that we're coming to understand that stress, the stresses related to poverty and conflict, really affect our behavior. And they affect our behavior in the sense that we don't sleep, we don't eat properly, we don't exercise, we don't have the social connections that are necessary to being healthy. And all of these side effects of having a lot of stress really undermine patients' health. And while smoking is not a risk factor for breast cancer, in Ulster County, we have a very big problem with socioeconomic stress and smoking and obesity.
Right. We know that smoking yes. rates are a good 20 points higher for adults who have average household income of less than $25,000 a year. So it really skyrockets.
And it's counterintuitive, right? Because mm-hmm. cigarettes are so expensive mm-hmm. that we often think that people who are more affluent are smoking, but it's actually the opposite. And I think that has to do with stress, that mm-hmm. our population is under a lot of socioeconomic stress. Mm-hmm. We also know that people who have socioeconomic stress have less access to healthy food. And there's obesity is more common among people without access to, who don't have as much money. And so I think that in our county, even though the lung cancer risk and the breast cancer risk are not really related to each other in terms of etiology or toxins, mm-hmm. they are related to each other in terms of the context in which our citizens are living. And yeah. I like to always be mindful of that. Because I think we're treating the community as a whole, and we always like to be mindful that that our patients are really having a lot of challenges on multiple levels.
Yeah, it's one of the recurring themes of Healthy Ulster Radio, right, Dr. Smith, is that you really can't take an individual or a family out of the total context in which they live their lives and expect them to
absolutely.
Improve.
I mean, the Robert Wood Johnson model for length of life and quality of life really depends on, to a greater extent, socioeconomic issues, maybe about anywhere from 30% to 40%, whereas, in the past we thought that it really hinged on clinical care, which is not necessarily true. I mean, it certainly is a factor, but socioeconomic factors, behaviors, et cetera, weigh much heavily on health outcomes. But I just want to comment on something Dr. Weinstein just mentioned, that, in Ulster County, we do have a problem with adult obesity. 27% of our people in Ulster are considered obese. And,
if you add overweight and obesity,
the two, absolutely, then it really the number goes up yeah. considerably more. And the other thing is that there is, I think, some link to excessive alcohol use.
Absolutely.
And breast cancer in women and other cancers. And excessive drinking is a bit of a problem. About 19% at least admit to excessive drinking in Ulster County, whereas, you know, the top U.S. performance, about 12%. So we have a higher drinking rate than we'd like to see, for sure, too.
Absolutely. And we used to tell patients, you know, myself and many of the oncologists in this community have often told our patients that four or more drinks a week is too much in terms of breast cancer risk. And, you know, when you're talking to a popular, we have a lot of retirees in this community, and when you're talking to people who are retired and like to have a glass of wine every day when they make their dinner, you know, they are not happy to hear that they can't, that they can't have a glass of alcohol every day, because the alcohol is toxic to the breast tissue.
Interesting. And by way of prevention, Dr. Weinstein, let's get into that part in terms of when should one begin screening for breast cancer?
Okay, so prevention is one thing. We don't really think there is a way to prevent breast cancer per se, as in general. Mm-hmm. But in terms of screening, depending on the patient's individual risk, we really believe that women should start having mammography at the age of 40. And there are many women who probably need mammography sooner than that, based on their individual risk in terms of behavior, reproductive history, family history. And sometimes patients need additional imaging, for instance, ultrasound or breast MRI, to augment the usefulness of screening in a younger patient population.
Mm-hmm. And are there types of exams that women can do at home that before they get to that point?
Women can be instructed in the use of a breast self-exam. Mm-hmm. There are many women who find it difficult to identify normal breast tissue and abnormal breast tissue. And for those women, they can start as teenagers. They should just have their healthcare provider perform a yearly breast exam.
And you know what, we'd like to really explore this topic even further, but right now we're going to just take a short break, and we'll be back right after this message.
When it comes to surgery, you always want to be in the best surgical hands. Now, thanks to WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, it's easy to find an expert surgeon close to home, featuring 8 highly respected doctors in 6 unique areas of practice. WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine is the latest way we're advancing care here in the Hudson Valley. The surgeons at WMC Health Physicians are leaders in the fields of breast surgery, general surgery, neurosurgery, surgical oncology, thoracic surgery, and vascular surgery, all equipped with the latest technology and approaches for the best possible care. And because they're part of WMC Health, your surgery can be performed at a location most convenient for you. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie or Health Alliance Hospitals in Kingston. Another way, we're advancing care here. For more information, visit wmchealth.org/Lake Katrine.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest this morning is Dr. Zoe Weinstein, a board-certified breast surgeon who is the medical director of the Fern Feldman Analytics Center for Breast Health at Health Alliance Hospital. Dr. Weinstein, what is the best way to detect breast cancer early on?
The best way to detect an early breast cancer is to have a screening exam of the breast, which for most women will be a yearly mammogram. We believe that mammography picks up tumors at a smaller, less advanced stage than if a woman finds the mass herself or if her healthcare provider finds it on breast exam. Some women will need an ultrasound in addition to a mammogram. Some women with an increased risk of breast cancer because of family history will need a breast MRI. All of those studies can find very small cancers that a patient or a physician or other healthcare provider will not appreciate on exam.
Well, that's an excellent point, because the earlier you discover this abnormality, the better the outcomes.
Absolutely. We have seen many patients in this community who, for multiple reasons, loss of health insurance, other problems at home, have missed mammography for a year or 2 years, have cancer that's already in the lymph nodes underneath their arm, even with a 2-year gap in breast imaging. So we encourage each patient to discuss with her healthcare provider her individual risk for getting a breast cancer, and in that way be guided to what is the best screening study for them.
Mm-hmm. And the individual risks would be family history and then some of the lifestyle choices that we talked about earlier?
Well, some of them aren't even choices. For instance, getting your period early before the age of 13 will increase your breast cancer risk. Having going through menopause after 55 increases your breast cancer risk. Never having children, having a child after 30, using birth control pills in your 40s. So some of these are not even personal choices. They're just happenstance. Some patients who've had prior breast biopsies have an increased risk of breast cancer, especially if those biopsies were in any way abnormal, not even cancerous. So I find that when I take a detailed history from a patient, most patients meet the criteria for yearly screening. I have never taken a history from a patient who doesn't fall into the category of needing a yearly mammogram.
Oh, that's really...
And for those women who may not have that mammogram because of economic issues or what have you, are there special programs that are available to them to help pay for the cost of the test?
Absolutely. New York State has a cancer services program that pays for free screening in women who are over the age of 40. This program is available in every county in New York State and can be found on the Health Alliance website and can also be found on the New York State website. That program also helps what we call underinsured women. Right now, we have many patients who have large deductibles, very big copays, who also find it prohibitive to go to the doctor or have any screening studies because they have these enormous out-of-pocket expenses. And the Cancer Services Program will help with that as well.
That's terrific. So what? It's probably based on an individual, but what happens if mammography that it's a cancer or something is discovered, what happens then? Is that person immediately referred to a specialist such as yourself?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, it depends on the imaging facility. So at the Fern Feldman Breast Center, patients will come for a screening mammogram, and often if something new is detected, the patient will be asked to wait. The technologist will show the images to the radiologist who's there on site, and the radiologist will recommend extra views, usually x-ray views of the breast and or an ultrasound. If it can happen in the same day, I think the patients really appreciate that. So they go from having a screening test to a diagnostic test. We have a patient navigator in the breast center who will often come out and talk to them to reassure them, because if you're used to getting in and out in a half an hour and all of a sudden you're waiting in your robe for 45 minutes, you already know that something is wrong and patients become extremely anxious. Now, if the findings are suspicious, the radiologist or the patient navigator will contact the referring provider's office and say the radiologist is recommending a biopsy. There are two kinds of physicians who perform these biopsies. Either the radiologist performs them or a breast surgeon will perform them. In our institution, I perform most of them, but we do have some radiologists who will perform them. Then the biopsies are done either under x-ray guidance, using the mammogram as the guide, because remember, these patients usually aren't going to have a mass. So we want to find the area using the modality in which it was seen in the first place, on a mammogram. We put the patient on a special table called a stereotactic table. The patient lies down. The images of the breast are acquired underneath the table with the patient lying down. Usually they're sitting or standing for a mammogram. And the biopsy device is mounted right underneath the table. So we're able to find this area using x-ray and to perform the biopsy at the same time. That's a minimally invasive stereotactic biopsy. Similarly, there are many women with dense breasts where the abnormality is only seen on ultrasound. Then the patient would have a biopsy with an ultrasound resting gently on their breast using the ultrasound as a guide, and in the same way, they will have a minimally invasive biopsy. This technique of making a diagnosis outside of the operating room is now considered the standard of care. We do not want to take women to the operating room to find out that they have a cancer, because that means they are committed to returning to the operating room to have a lymph node looked at to make sure they don't have metastatic disease, or to have another operation for negative margins. So this standard of taking care of patients really has improved, improved
outcomes?
No. It really improves this more specialized care depending on the cancer that the patient has. For instance, there are patients who will present through no one's fault with a tumor in the breast with multiple lymph nodes involved, because they may have a more biologically aggressive cancer. Those patients don't need surgery first. They need chemotherapy and targeted therapy first. By performing these small staging biopsies and allowing the pathologist to get an idea of the biological behavior of this tumor, the patient's care is expedited so that they get this upfront or neoadjuvant chemotherapy or targeted therapy first. So these little biopsies really help strategize the best way to manage the patient's cancer care.
Mm-hmm. And for our listeners out there, what is the difference in what you can see with a mammogram versus an ultrasound?
That's a very good question. So there are very subtle abnormalities on mammography called calcifications. Mm-hmm. Those calcifications are really little calcium deposits associated with proteins in the breast that are usually benign, but are sometimes associated with precancerous change or a cancer. And those calcifications that really do trigger a lot of biopsies, meaning that's the abnormality, microcalcifications, they cannot be seen on ultrasound unless they're associated with the mass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, women between 40, the controversy about mammography really has a lot to do with women between the ages of 40 and 50. And there have been multiple studies of questioning the usefulness of mammography in this patient population, because before menopause, the breast tissue is extremely dense. And that dense glandular tissue looks like a snowstorm. And so finding a mass in the breast when it's dense is like finding a snowman in a snowstorm. An ultrasound is a better way to look at this dense breast tissue. You would be amazed to see the number of suspicious masses we see on ultrasound in women under 50. The patients don't have a mass and they don't have a mammographic abnormality. Now, when we get those patients in the office, they often say, why do I even bother getting a mammogram? And the answer to that is that they could have had calcifications. That could have been the only thing we saw. So there are many women who need both studies.
Uh-huh.
What is the role of an MRI?
That's a very good question. So breast MRI was really designed to pick up early cancers, to pick up cancers smaller than we pick them up on mammography. We think mammography, the best we can do is 5 millimeters. Precancerous change of the breast associated often with microcalcifications, we thought breast MRI would really clarify the extent of DCIS in the breast or this precancerous change. And what has happened with MRI over, you know, the two decades since we started using it is that we found that while it is a very sensitive test and shows you all kinds of abnormalities in the breast, it's not very specific. So if you take this expensive, fancy test and use it on everyone, there are a lot of women who are going to have unnecessary biopsies because it shows so many subtle abnormalities, but it can't tell you really what they are. We use MRI for women with known genetic abnormalities, the BRCA mutations or other genes that are associated with breast cancer risk, because these are women who will develop an interval cancer between a yearly mammogram. So for those women, we use mammogram and ultrasound, and we alternate that at 6 months with an MRI. In addition, we often use an MRI in women with multiple first-degree relatives with breast cancer, meaning you have a patient, their mother had breast cancer, their sister had breast cancer, that patient is very high risk. So we want some additional way of looking at this breast tissue.
Well, we're beginning to run out of time, so very quickly, can you tell us how are we doing with respect to breast cancer survivability?
We're doing so much better than we were when I was a medical student.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that for every breast cancer survival is still really based on stage of disease, whether you present with an early cancer or a more advanced cancer. And I would say we've improved survival by at least 10 percentage points for each stage in the time I've been in practice.
That's really terrific. Unfortunately, we'd love to talk more about this. This is such an important topic.
We'll have to have Dr. Weinstein back.
We will, and we're running out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much, Dr. Weinstein, for what you do and your colleagues. It's really invaluable and a great asset to the community.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your time.
You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.